Hello and welcome to Raising a Pro. I am Annie Apple, journalist and NFL mom to my son, Eli Apple. Before we get to today's show, I'd like to say a special blessing to our new president, President Joe Biden, and the first woman, and a Black woman at that, to ever serve as Vice President of the United States of America, Madam Vice President Kamala Harris. May God bless and keep you both and your families. May he cause his face to shine upon you and grant you peace. Shalom. I also pray our country embraces accountability. It's honestly the only way to true unity and healing after a traumatic 4 years, honestly a traumatic 400 years. But anyway, congrats to the new administration. Speaking of which, today's guest was one half of the Gronkowski administration. Today on Raising a Pro, we have Diane Gronkowski, mother of not one, but five sons whom all play professional sports, with four of them making it to the NFL, including three-time Super Bowl winner and current Tampa Bay Bucks tight end and Tom Brady certified BFF, Rob Gronkowski. A hearty welcome to Diane, mom to Gordy Jr., Dan, Chris, Rob, and Glenn. What was that like, you know, raising those kids in Buffalo, New York, five boys? How did you stay sane?
You know, my whole life was just them. So you get up in the morning and the first one up and it was, you know, what did they need? What do they need? You know, you just do it. I mean, you can't send them back. So you just kind of, what you have, right?
Did you try to send them back?
It was very active, very, very, very active. You know, they fed off of each other. So when one decided to do something, they all had to do it and, you know, compete with what they were doing. So it didn't matter what they were doing. It was a competition. So it was crazy, but I just did it. I didn't drink. I didn't take drugs. I didn't smoke. I just got up every day and did it. And, you know, you look back now and I go, oh my gosh, you know, but at the time you just do it.
So let's go through the names of all five of them, right? So let's go through.
So Gordy's the first. He actually was drafted with the Angels in baseball. So he actually was a professional athlete also. So all five of them actually were professional athletes. So he's the oldest. And then Dan, he played with a couple of different teams, but he was drafted with Detroit.
Yeah, he was with Detroit Broncos and did a stint with Patriots.
Yeah, he went to Detroit for a year. He went to the Broncos for a year. He went to Cleveland. Then he went with Rob. He was then with the Patriots with Rob for a short time. Then he went back to Cleveland. And then that was the end of his career. Then after that was Chris. He was with the Dallas Cowboys for a year.
Colts, Broncos, and Chargers. Yeah. I know so much for you to remember. I don't even expect you to. I can't remember what I did last week.
You know what? Because when I say the Colts, I still in my mind think of Baltimore Colts. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, wow. Throwback.
Yeah.
Way throwback.
I know. Way throwback. So he was with Indy. Yeah, he was with Indy for years. So he went Dallas a year, Indy a year, Denver a year. Then he was with the Chargers and got hurt. Then he was done. And then Rob was with the Patriots for 9 years and now with the Buccaneers. I know I have to think about these. And then Glenn was with the Bills. And then he was with Rob in at the Patriots. And actually, that was so good because he ended up with the Super Bowl ring too then.
Exactly. Hey. Rings for everybody.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, I was at an ESPN ESPYs party and your ex-husband, I think like three or four of your sons were there. I know Rob was one of them. I turned around, like I look at the dance floor, you know, we walk in towards the dance floor, a couple of friends, all of a sudden I see your family on the dance floor and those boys are dancing. They're wild. They're having like the best time. And as a mom, I'm just looking at them out there on that dance floor. They're dancing with this amazing, beautiful woman in a wheelchair. And they're just like, they're just having the time of their life. And I thought of you in that moment. I was like, wow, what was it like in their house growing up? Because their father was right in there with them. So what was that? How important did sports become in your household just to keep them organized and occupied?
Well, the sports in school kept them busy. They started playing hockey and all five of them played hockey. I did that for 20 years. They started playing hockey when they were five, and they started playing baseball when they were five or six. And then they started playing basketball when they were maybe in fifth, sixth grade. And then they started playing football in seventh grade. So, we did hockey, and hockey was hard because hockey is a whole nother sport. I don't know if you're real familiar with it, but you know, all that equipment and you're just going from rink to rink. You know, there's one rink in this town and one in that town. And, you know, I did a lot of hockey because I didn't let them do any travel hockey till they were 12, because I knew that I couldn't be with all of them every single time. So if I had to send them somewhere, at least if they were 12, they were a little bit, you know, older to, you know, kind of, I didn't want to send them with another family when they were eight.
That would have been a lot. Diane, come get your kids, please.
Well, because, you know, I had all the other ones to take to other rinks every day. I mean, we did hockey every day. And on the weekends, it was usually, you know, four or five times on Saturday, four or five times on Sunday at all different rinks. And then during the week, it was every single day. So that was a harder sport. It was a whole different ball game with that. It was hard to do hockey, but we did it. 20 years, I did it. Five of them.
How old were they when you were divorced, and how did you manage all that?
Oh, they were in college.
So at least you had help.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll be right back with more with Diane in a minute. We obviously talk a lot about athleticism and sports on Raising a Pro. But you know what? A big part of that is keeping your mind sharp. Lately, I've been leveling up my focus with my new favorite game, Word Forest. Word Forest is a word puzzle app, kind of like a word search where you find hidden word matches. The more you find, the more bonus coins you earn, which you can then cash in when you get really stuck. I don't usually play mobile games, but I've got to tell you, it's really fun and you just can't put it down. I find myself getting really competitive, guess what, with myself. The game gets harder as you progress through the levels, and there are over 2,000 of those, so I can't see myself getting bored of it anytime soon. Right now, Word Forest is offering you 2,500 coins and 500 gems when you download and play. So why not give yourself a break from mindlessly scrolling through social media and keep your mind sharp? Just go to Apple or Google Store and search for Word Forest. Download Word Forest for free today and get ready to flex your brain muscles. Instead of just trying to focus on all five, let's zoom in right now on Rob, right? So what was Rob's recruiting like, and what made Arizona, I believe, the best choice for him?
Well, he had a lot of offers. I mean, I don't know. Did he have 30 some offers? He had a lot. Maybe that's not the right number, but I don't remember the number. It was a lot. I think it was the sunshine. I think it was, you know, the warm weather, getting away. And although he could have gone to school in Florida too, or, you know, Texas or something, but I don't know. It was just maybe something different and something he didn't know about, and trying something new. You know, it's a whole different world in Arizona than it is in Buffalo, New York.
But you guys moved from Buffalo, is that to Pennsylvania, am I correct?
We didn't. My husband had a business there, and so he went there, and then Rob went there to play just his senior year.
So, but that's a huge change, though, to leave your senior year to go to another high school.
Yeah, that was... I guess it was just kind of like preparing to go away to college, because the following year, the difference was he went to Arizona. So, you know, that was a bigger step. You know, Woodland Hills High School was 2 hours away or 3 hours away. So it wasn't the end of the world. But to go to Arizona, you know, it was like, that's another world.
That is the other side. Yeah. But as a freshman in 2007 at Arizona, you know, he broke a school record for a tight end at the time, right? And he was named Sporting News All-American amongst other honors. Then it was time to take his talents to the next level. What was it like for you when Rob decided, you know, I'm going to go into the draft?
Well, you know what? The other kids had already done that. And so, you know, you kind of had the routine down. You knew the rules. You knew when they were allowed to talk to recruits and, you know, when they were allowed to do this and that, you know, with all the rules that they have. But Yeah, he got invited to go to the green room and, you know, to the draft. So that was different than the other kids. But, you know, Gordy had already been drafted with baseball. Dan had been drafted with football. And so Chris and Rob were actually up the same year for the draft. Chris did not get drafted, but he got picked up about half an hour after the draft ended, which actually worked out really, really well for him. You know, it's funny because sometimes the draft isn't the best thing. If you get picked up as a free agent after the draft, you know, people think that if you get drafted, but when you get drafted, you still have to.
Well,
make
we know
the
NFL
team.
Like everything. The contract is written in the sand on a windy day. Everything blows away at some. You know what I mean? So it's just.
Oh, for sure. There's no guarantee in anything with that. I mean, you're drafted, but you have to make the team. You have to stay healthy. You have to still have other people that have the same position as you. So you're still fighting for that position. So, yeah, there's no guarantees with anything. You're in one day, you're out the next day. And when you're out and you're a nobody. Nobody really pays attention to you anymore. So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, to the fans, you may be so-called nobody, but you're always everything to your family. So he's selected by the Patriots in the second round of the 2010 draft. Now, you had already been through it before. So is it a certain excitement you want to show for each child? Or is it like, okay, we've been through this before. What was your attitude as a mom?
Oh, no. Each child is, you know, is special. So it's you're not going to go, oh, yeah, well, he was drafted. Like, so what? I mean... We also then had, okay, so we were in New York and, you know, the draft and did the tours and stuff. And then actually I drove home through the night back to Buffalo. And, you know, we were still waiting because we were waiting for Chris to get a call. So we still had that part going on. And, you know, then Chris gets a call that he's going to go to Dallas. So, you know, we had both of them. We had both of them together that year.
But so he was selected. So Rob was selected in the second round. That means you were in the green room for round one. Then you came back for round two.
Right.
So did you have to get two different outfits to wear? How was that, though? You're like, oh, my God, I got to go back again. Because I was talking to Saquon Barkley's mom, Tanya. You know, he was first round, second overall. And we were just saying how, like, she was like, listen, if I have to come back the next day, I'm showing up in my pajamas, okay? So I'm just saying, like, how was it for you, like, the end of round one? Because we watch it, you know, we've been there, I've been there. What do you say to your son when you're not picked in round one and you have to come back the next day?
I mean, what do you say? You're lucky that you're there to begin with. So there's nothing bad to say. It actually worked out better. I mean, he went with the Patriots. Everything worked out better than I don't know that if he'd been picked in round one by another team and he was out in California or something, how it would have been so hard for us to go to games. So, you know, it actually, you look at it now and you go, it was all meant to be. It doesn't really matter that he didn't go in round one. Things worked out for him.
But did you pack two outfits? How many outfits did you pack? I'm just curious because I know I packed one outfit. I'm like, if it's not this day, I'm showing up in some jeans and a t-shirt. So how many outfits did you pack?
You know, it's funny. I'm not into that at all. And so that isn't even a question of, oh, what am I going to wear this day? What am I going to wear? It's like, I'm just not into the clothes and the so. I don't even remember what I brought.
What did you wear, Diane? Like, did you say to yourself when you were packing, let me pack two outfits, three in case? I mean, it's all about preparation. You know what I mean? We're moms. We're always prepared.
Well, right. But I'm always prepared because you always bring extra in case you get stuck somewhere or you're stuck in an airport somewhere, whatever. But I wasn't packing thinking, what do I wear the first day that are after the second day that after the third way? I just was packing for how many days I thought I would be there. I mean, I figured I'd be there at least three days just to hang out and sightsee and stuff. So it's funny. The clothing thing just is not my thing, you know?
But I'm sure you looked great, honey. I'm sure you looked great.
Well, yeah, well.
So he goes to New England with, of course, future Hall of Famer Tom Brady. What was that like? What advice did you give Rob going into, you know, this New England Patriots or Belichick and Brady, what advice did you give him or did you know that he would be fine?
I didn't like sit down and give him any advice or anything. It's like, he's a grown man. He had his own decisions to make in his life. And as far as going to college, it was where he wanted to go. All of his decisions were what they're the ones who have to do it, not me. You know, and I think I'm just too laid back of a person. I'm not a worrier. I'm just like, oh, well, it'll just work out, whatever. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. So
you like, Rob, behave yourself in Boston.
Well, I didn't have to worry about that too much because I knew that, Belichick would take over that part.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. You know, it was like his first thing was, keep your mouth shut. Don't say a lot. So that was fine.
That was the first Belichick rule. Keep your mouth shut. Don't say much.
Yeah.
Because we know how sometimes the media would twist everything the guys say. So that is sound advice.
Well, not sometimes, most of the time.
Thank you.
I'm not a fan of, yeah. And that could be a whole podcast on itself of the things that the media does to your kids because they say things. Well, first of all, with me, they'd be saying stuff and they wouldn't even be talking about the right kid. I mean, they'd be talking about one of my sons and it wasn't even that son. It was one of the other ones. Like, and they'd have the wrong team. And actually, I have to tell you, Chris and Glenn one time pretended they were each other and like switched. So they were pretending they were like Chris was pretending he was Glenn. Glenn was pretending he was Chris. And they were doing an interview, but they were talking about each other. Not themselves. It's funny because years, and I knew that, I knew they had done that. And years later, I see like an interview or I see an article that I'm reading and it'll have part of an interview in there. And I'll think, you know what? I know that that reporter didn't interview Chris. He went and took it out of his old one because it wasn't even Chris. It was Glenn saying that.
Oh, it's a lot. It's a lot to contend with. And your kid was in New England, Boston market. Mine was in New York, and it's a lot to contend with. And I realized, especially being a trained journalist, that when you're dealing with trash, you can't give it any spotlight. Because sometimes when you try to defend yourself or say, no, that's, or defend your kid, you bring more attention to the bullshit that originated. Do you know what I mean? So there are just certain things you just have to just let go and just shake your head and be confident and comfortable with the truth that you know.
Exactly. Because they don't care what the truth is. They just want the story.
Yeah. They just, want to clickbait, sell papers, move their career up to the next level of trash. So three Super Bowl rings, but let's go back to Super Bowl 51, I believe it was. It was in Houston. I know that's when I saw you out there because I crashed in the Patriots' little family party they were having. Don't tell anyone. Don't tell Bill.
I thought that one was the one in Phoenix.
No, that was, I want to say, was it Houston? Yeah, which one was in Houston? Because the Houston one was when with Atlanta. Atlanta was, Patriots were down by like, was it 25 points?
I don't know. I was just thinking of the pregame party that I saw you at that you came to.
No, that was definitely Houston because I didn't go because that was my first Super Bowl that I went to. Let's talk about that game, though, because I was actually at that game. New England was down, 25 points. There was a kid who was sitting next to me. I will never forget this. And the kid was, he was a Patriots fan. The little boy was crying the whole game, right? And because it's like they were down, I was like, you know what? Let me go ahead and start to leave right now so I can beat traffic, right? So I'm leaving. And by the time I left, the whole game turned around. So tell me, what was that like for you? Because that was a historic game.
Well, I don't really get that upset or that emotional about game. Like, I wouldn't be sitting there crying and I wouldn't leave the game early. My kids have been in games where they won. They've been in games where they lost. That's the way life is. You're not going to win every game. You're not going to lose every game.
I love you, Diane.
I'm just, I wouldn't be sitting there crying. It'd be like, even when the kids growing up, whenever they had a competition in any sport, after that, I'd say, well, you had a good game. And they say, well, we lost. And I go, well, you had a good game. Yeah, you lost, but it's not going to be your first or your last loss. Oh, yeah, we're talking about the Super Bowl here, though. So, like, yeah, that is not just a, peewee hockey game. It's a little bit different caliber, yes. But, you know what? The life goes on, whether you win or you lose, life goes on. And the next day you get up, and then the next day you get up, and then all of a sudden it was, okay, now you're on to the next year and the next day.
But you know what? For me, when I was leaving by the end of the game, what was so funny was I started to smile because I thought about that little boy. And I was like, you know what? When I left, he was weeping a river, but I'm sure he's somewhere dancing and happy right now.
Yeah, that's just it. You
know, I've never seen a little kid look so stressed for that long. So I was so happy leaving. I'm like, somewhere that little boy is happy.
Well, good for you that you had that little boy. But no, I'm just not like that. I'm just like.
So you're never stressed over the game. Like you're just like that. I mean, you have five boys, but I know so many other moms. They're just like, oh, my God, you know. But that game was, I mean, who would have thought they would have come back?
I know you always have, I think you just have to know that a game isn't over until it's over with anything. I mean, there's so many games I've watched with my kids or without my kids playing in them that, you know, a team is down by so much and then they come back and they win in the last minute. I am just not, I'm not stressed out. And I guess it's part of me. I can't imagine if I was a stressful person or a worrier and having the five of them, because everybody, you know, I remember even when they were little and they were, you know, 5, 6 years old and they're playing hockey and they had to take turns being the goalie. You know, each kid on the team had to take turns and you had to bring the goalie bag home 1 week. Then it stunk and you practice putting the stuff on them during the week and stuff. And then I get there and the parents would be, oh my gosh, my son's the goalie this week. And they'd be pacing. And I'm like, for God's sake.
You like sit down.
I am. I'm just like, so what if he's really, really bad? Oh, well, he's really, really bad. Or if he's like, he's five. Like, what are you worried about?
Sit down.
I don't get that part of it because I'm not like that.
Yeah, I don't do stress. I mean, but there are a lot of, you know, parents who are just connected to, you know, the results a lot. But my thing was, are you having a good time? Are you having fun? Stay healthy. Let's do this. But so 9 years with the Rob has 9 years with the Patriots, 3 Super Bowl rings, right? Let's talk about, before we get to retirement, let's talk about injuries, because with 5 sons, you have football, you have hockey, you have all these sports, especially with football. Let's get to the football, because I know Rob suffered a lot of injuries. And when we talked for the piece we did years ago, you talked about the injuries. Like, is there any bone Rob didn't break? Like, how did you as a mom handle injuries?
Well, they didn't have a lot of injuries growing up. I mean, even though they did all those sports, we had a couple things here and there, but it wasn't, you know, the end of the world. And it's not like they knew me at the emergency room. Oh, here she comes again with another one. So I just wasn't. They didn't have injuries. It was in the NFL that they all had their injuries. Chris, Dan, the injuries for Rob. You start wondering, oh, you know, should he still, in my mind, oh, should he still be playing? But that wasn't my decision. I never said that to him of, you know, should you still be playing? Should you stop playing? That wasn't my decision to make. He's a grown man. He's the one who had to make the decision. He's the one who had to heal. He's the one who had to go through all of the negativity from the press saying, oh, he's done, he's done, he's done. And it's like, well, he wasn't done because he did 9 years and it, you know, on the second year and he's hurt and they're saying he's done already. So, The hard part about your child being injured is you have no way to communicate with them immediately, and you don't know when you will be able to. So you kind of watch for different, there's like different steps that in my mind I look for. So if your child's hurt and they're on the field and the coaches come out, trainers come out, and then they talk to them a little bit and then they get up and they walk off and go sit on the bench. So that's a great thing. Then the next step would be they get up and they walk off and they go to the blue tent. Then you know that there may be a little more of an issue because that's where they kind of go in and evaluate them, you know, in private. So then the third thing would be, okay, he gets up and goes and just goes right to the locker room. So you go, okay, there's something a little more serious because there is going to be x-rays or something, you know, immediately. And then the fourth thing is they get taken off the field in the cart. So you kind of watch that in my mind. So, of course, when there's an injury and if you're watching it on television, they go to commercial immediately. So now you as a mom are sitting there going, all right, that was my son. What happened? What happened? So now you wait for the 15 minutes of commercials to be over, and then they come back, and then they usually show the injury. If you ever pay attention, they usually show the injured person then right away when they come back from commercial. And that's how you as a mom are finding out what's happening to your son. So, okay, is he sitting on the bench? Is he in the blue tent? Is he in the locker room? Was he taken off in the cart? So those are the four things that you look for. And then, of course, if they're taken off in the cart and they are in the locker room and they're gone, you know, you're thinking, well, when will you ever get to talk to anybody? It's not like the doctor says, oh, wait a minute, let's call his mom and let her know what we're going to do. I have been lucky enough that in the really bad ones that I wasn't at, that like with, well, say with Rob, I was with Chris in Arizona. He had a game, not in Arizona, in Denver. Chris had a game the day before, so I had gone to Denver. So then the next day, Rob had a game. So we were watching on TV and he got hurt really bad. So I'm just watching the TV to see where he goes, whatever. It was a bad injury. And I just waited for a phone call. I just stood there pacing, you know, like, oh yeah, you know, when it's an injury, that's a whole different story. And so he called me, and it was probably, I think it was like 8 minutes I waited, and Rob called me and he said, yeah, I'm hurt really bad. I'll give you a call again. I just wanted to call you real quick and say, you know, I'll let you know what's going on. So then you're like, okay, well, he's talking. It's not he's not unconscious, you know, that kind of thing. So to me, it's, you know what? Yeah. They play they have a job. Their job is playing football. And are they going to get injured? Yes. You're just hoping that the injuries are things like the head or the back injuries. Those are the things. It's kind of funny because even I watch any sport I watch now, if someone gets hurt, the first thing I go is, oh my gosh, their poor mother.
So how happy were you when he finally decided to retire? What was that decision process like when he was like, you know what? Because I believe Tom was leaving. I don't know if it was Tom leaving or he just was like, I'm done. Like he went, did other things, other projects. But what was that like when Rob was like, Mom, I'm going to retire?
I think with Rob, it was a little bit different in the sense that he had so many other things that he could do and they were just waiting for him to football. He had things lined up that he could do if he wanted to do them. He wasn't deciding, okay, well, now what am I going to do then now that I retired? His priority, though, in retirement was getting his body back to where it should be. He didn't want to be 40 years old and sitting somewhere and going, oh, I can't get out of bed in the morning and sitting there telling people how every day is a struggle to get out of bed. His priority was to get his body back to where he should be and where he wanted to be and not be in any pain at all. And he concentrated on that, and that was a full-time job trying to do that. So everything has always been their decision, what they want to do.
Then when he decided to not retire and come back, how did you feel? Were you like, oh my God, why, Rob, why?
I wasn't like that. I was excited because he was going to Tampa, and I live 2 hours away. And so this is the first time I have to... Okay, you got to get the airplane tickets and you got to get the hotel and you rent a car and, you know, all the stuff that you had to do to go to every single game every weekend. It was like a job in itself. So I didn't worry about it. I mean, I was really excited. And you know what? I have never seen him so much in his life than I see him now. I tell people in a couple of months, I saw him more in those couple months than I had seen him since he left high school. You know, for like 13 years, I haven't seen him as much as I see him now. And especially as I get time now with him alone, which is the big difference, because anytime I would go see him in New England, you get there and there's all these people there. There's always people around. Everywhere you go, there's people around. And you never get your kids alone. So this has been really, really good for me personally, because I see him and I see him alone. And so it's been a good thing for me.
Does he seem happier now in Tampa than he was in New England?
You know what? The kid is never not happy.
Facts.
It doesn't matter what happens. He's so excited. Like, everything's wonderful. Everything is wonderful with that kid. He just loves life. Doesn't matter. If something doesn't work out, oh, well, you just go on to the next thing. That's fine.
Wow. And so tell us about his relationship with Tom Brady, because I know it just looks like they just love playing together. It feels like they're like brothers out there. So what can you tell us about that friendship?
They just have a love for each other. You know, they just really do. They know each other really, really well. And it's like another brother. I'm sure it's like another brother to Rob. Tom's always been good to him. But yet, I think when Rob first started out with the Patriots, you know, Tom was tough on him to learn, you know, learn the roots and learn what was going on. So Rob's never said anything bad about Tom Brady. He's always been very happy with him. And yeah, like you said, it's just more like another brother.
And I met Tom once after a Giants game, and I was talking to him, and I told him, I was like, dude, I hate you. I said, you never age. He never age. Every year, Tom Brady gets younger. So I thought maybe Rob would have found out what the secret was, and they told you, and you would have shared it with all of us, because Tom gets younger with time. I'm like, the man does not age. What? He's going to be still playing when he's like 63. I guarantee you.
Oh my gosh. I don't know how.
So let me tell you, five boys. Let me ask you this. Five boys, right? What is some advice you gave your son, especially Rob, about women?
Oh gosh. That's a whole nother story.
Well,
I really can't say that I say a lot about that either. I mean, it's, you know, they have their personalities. They've all picked really good women. And I think women that have, you know, go along with their personalities. You know, at first, I mean, when they're younger and they're dating and stuff, and you just go, well, you know, that's just going to be one that, you know, they're just dating for now. And 2 weeks later, it'll be somebody else or whatever, you know, when they're, you know, in high school or middle school or whatever. Although I shouldn't say that, because Chris is with his wife, Brittany. They were in nursery school together.
Oh my God, that is so cute.
Elementary school. They were in nursery school, elementary school, middle school, high school. And they are married and have the three boys so far. And so, yeah, they've been.
Three! Oh my God.
Yeah, the boy thing, right? Oh my gosh, the boy.
That is the boy thing. Three boys. So she has two more to catch up to you.
Yeah, I know. I think she was a little surprised at the third one. And she says, like, oh, I'm having a boy. I said, don't look at me. You know, don't look at me. I'm like, can't help you out with the girl thing.
So how many grandkids is that all together?
Six. So Dan has three, and Chris has three. Chris has three boys. Dan has two boys, and he does have a girl.
Yay, there's finally a girl in the family.
It is possible. It is possible.
It is possible. No thanks to you, Diane.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I don't have anything to do with it, actually. It's the guys, so.
So, I mean, listen, you know, they say you have a greater odds of winning the lottery than having four of your kids in the NFL, but you have been able to do it. So if you had to give any advice, you know, to parents out there about the whole process, what are some of the important lessons you've learned from just your kids' journey?
A couple of things that are really important to me, or that I like to share with people, is the fact that don't live your life through your kids. You might want your child to do this, and you might want your child to do that, no matter what it is. But you can lead a horse to water, as they say, you know, but you can't make them drink. So you might want your child to be an NFL player. But if the child doesn't want to be it, let them do what they want to do as far as that. And you know what? The second thing is, at any point, they're pro sport or whatever they're doing, but especially, you know, with being an athlete, that can end. They're out there, and 3 minutes later, you know, they're in the locker room getting x-rays, and it could be the end of their whole career. You just don't know when it's going to end. So there always needs to be a backup.
Let me ask you this, Diane, as a mom, how do you mentally, because you know, at some point it will end, right? And I know it's their life and their decision, but they look to us for as far as advice, encouragement, and just like a sense of foundation. How do you prepare your child for the possibility, like emotional possibility, that of when that is over? You know, you have sons who they had their time and it was over. How were you able to mentally prepare them for like the end of something they've been doing since they were 5 years old? Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's something that when they're in college, that's when you're telling them that is, you know, you need to get your degree, you need to graduate, you need to have a backup, because let's just say, you know, football isn't forever. Nobody plays football till they're 65 years old. So
unless you're Tom Brady, only Tom Brady.
Well, yeah. Except Tom Brady. So, you know that, you know, going into it that you're saying, you know, you have to have the backup plan, because football, you could be a year, you could be a week, you could be 3 years, you could be 10 years, but it will end. And it's, I know that's one thing that's always been important to me is having the education or having the backup plan. And you know what? They all did have backup plans and they all have other businesses that they do. You know, things have worked out good for them after, but you definitely need to have that college education behind you. You have to have the backup plan, whatever it is, because like I said, could be a week, could be a day, could get cut.
Yeah. And one thing I see, you know, because I've seen, you know, a few of the brothers, the Gronkowski brothers together. And I will say one thing I love about watching them together. It's like they're genuinely always seem happy for one another, because it's tough when you have a big family where jealousy can ensue, right? One person has more success in an area than another person. How are you able to, as a mom, because it starts with the parents. How were you able to always keep them not competing against each other, not jealous of each other, but really supporting one another?
Well, they always were competing against each other. Every single thing they do, who can run up the stairs faster, who can eat dinner fast, every single thing, who can get their shoes on faster. So they always were competing in everything, except I think that the difference with that is after football being over, they have such successful businesses that there isn't one saying, hey, I'm better than this, because they all did good even after football was over. But they also do things together. You know, they have their businesses, but they also have their businesses that they do together too. And they help each other out in their businesses. So they kind of all link together.
Well, you did good. We always see Rob, as you say, he's super happy. He's super all the time. But we got to ask, who taught him how to dance? Because Rob thinks he can dance a lot better than he does.
Oh, no, he knows that. He just pretends that he's good. Yeah. When he went on, you know, the Masked Singer, he was the White Tiger. He had to do, you know, some dancing lessons. And he did learn, you know, at least he learned a few things in that that helped him out somewhat, because, you know, he knows he's not a good dancer.
Who's the best dancer, though, of the boys? Who's the best dancer?
Oh, none of them.
None of them.
We're not a dancing family. No.
Well, on that dance floor, you guys, they were all a dancing family that day.
They were all together, but yeah, they really aren't good. No.
So in closing, you know, you've raised five boys, and I definitely commend you. You raised five young men, and that's never easy. Not easy on the pocketbook, not easy on the fridge, not easy on the time. So I commend all your efforts and, you know, and your ex-husband, Gordy, we definitely looking back, what did you do right? And what do you wish you had done differently?
One big thing actually that I think I did right was I was a stay-at-home mom. The kids were 100% my life, what I had to do for them. And I had to do everything ahead of time. I was very prepared. I had, you know, the hockey bags in the van the night before and, you know, dinner made the night before for the next day. And, you know, I did everything ahead of time. I was always prepared in that and organized in that sense. With having all the schedules that I had, I think that was something that I really did well. They were all at their practices. They were all at their games. Nobody missed anything. They were all picked up. I didn't leave any of them behind. You know, I didn't forget about any of them. So being, you know, just very organized.
That's to be commended.
Yeah. You know, and so that was just 100% was my life was, you know, the first one up in the morning, the last one to bed at night. And the whole time between was all like what they needed, where they needed to go, who needed this and, you know, getting their food ready and getting them everywhere that they need to be. But that, what would I have done different? I think the one thing that I would have done different was possibly take a little bit of time for myself. I mean, I have the time now. And so that's, you know, looking back, you go, oh gosh, you know, if, when you're in the moment, you're like, if I could just take a shower without, you know, having a time limit of you got, you know, 1.5 minutes to get in the shower, you know, to it just, if you just had a little time, could I go to the grocery store by myself once in a while and not have all of them with me? You know, just a couple of things like that to say, you know, if I had a little bit more time for myself, even once a month to just go do something for 4 hours by myself. But, you know, I never was my own priority. They were the priority. So I probably would change that. That's something, yeah.
I don't know how you can be chill with 5 boys in the house, but somehow Diane Gronkowski managed to keep her sanity and her chill after mothering 5 rowdy boys. Kudos to her. It's so amazing to me that the boys just support one another. I was very impressed with how, as even competitors, that tight-knit family stayed tight through so much media attention, so much scrutiny, and so much injury. And the process of professional sports is always unpredictable. But when you have a good family, good support system, you come out a winner. What was really telling to me when I asked Diane, I said, you know, if you could do anything differently, her answer stood out to me. She said, I wish I had taken more time for myself. And this really brings me to today's Annie's Clapback. And I don't know if it's quite a clapback, but it's an important reminder, and I would like to talk to all the moms in the room. And I would say to you, as somebody who has raised 4 and somebody who became a mother 16 years old, someone who had to work full-time, why going to college full-time, just to be able to take care of my children and give them the opportunity to have a life that is productive and purposeful. Ladies, take time for yourself. Let your children see you doing things for yourself. Let your children see you being kind to yourself. Let them see you enjoying yourself. Let them see you thriving, not just surviving. Because this is how they will learn, mom comes first. You know, there's an old saying, when you're used to putting everybody is first, everybody else assume you come second. But it's so important to take that time to yourself, because time is precious and time with family and obligations is important, but not more important than the time you carve out to just be a woman. Once again, thanks for listening to Raising a Pro. Raising a Pro is part of the Audio Boom Originals Network. And if you're feeling this podcast, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Follow us also on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you want to drop me a line or suggest someone you'd like to hear from on this series, find me on socials at Raising a Pro. See you next time, family.